Jawbone Trump calls the robots to order. His skills may have already shown success with the Carrier air conditioning company, but how about the tech industry? Top executives from Apple, Microsoft, Facebook, Elon Musk of Tesla, and SpaceX are all expected to face questions from the president-elect about why automation and offshore manufacturing are good for the U.S. economy. They are certainly good for these tech companies' bottom lines. Prominent Silicon Valley venture capitalist Peter Thiel, a vocal Trump supporter, organized this meeting as a way of generating mutual understanding. The group may have been among the hardest campaigners against Trump, though. Does that awkwardness translate into clout? Can Trump charm a group that owes the president-elect nothing and, if anything, is demanding that immigration restrictions for highly educated workers be relaxed? Heather Redman is a startup investor in Seattle, and she says look for this meeting to be more like a polite petting zoo rather than a scrappy place to land punches.
I would expect that on both sides, this is sort of a normalization get-to-know-you meeting. And I think from Trump's standpoint, the win would be he has some very significant folks who are willing to be in the same room as him, notwithstanding their opposition to his candidacy prior to the election.
And as far as policy goes, there's a lot of talk from the Trump transition team about jobs and making sure tech jobs stay in the U.S. But the people who are represented in this group are probably the leaders of industries where jobs are being replaced by robots at a staggeringly rapid rate. And so whether you can hold jobs in the United States, that isn't even the question anymore. It's whether you can hold them to human beings or not.
Yeah, I think you're right on there. I mean, the focus of Trump's attention in terms of job loss has really been on trade-related and globalization-related job loss. And I think if you look at the numbers historically, I think I've heard numbers something like 80% of the job loss has been due to automation, which is really, you know, not sort of globalism dependent. And then I've seen some forecasts, I think, from Boston Consulting Group that going forward, 47% of our existing jobs, you know, full stop, are at serious risk from automation. So what a Trump administration would do about that, I'm not sure. But I think from the tech industry standpoint, it's really up to us to be forward looking and understanding sort of what kind of job landscape that innovation is going to create, and be advocates for educational programs and, you know, sort of meritocracy based programs that would allow people to get those new jobs as those jobs are created. I mean, one of the things that we've been thinking about is say, all right, now we have all these smart homes and all these Internet of Things appliances running around. Is there a new kind of skilled job that would involve being a handyman for smart appliances and smart homes? That's a very different job than being a handyman today, but it's still a real job.
Typically, when business leaders meet with presidents at the White House or in a transition moment like this, there's a regulatory agenda that's top of mind. And I'm wondering if there is a collective notion of regulations that this tech community is really interested in right now. They're mostly pro-climate change, but as far as other regulations are concerned, is there a key relaxation of federal regulations that any of these folks would be interested in?
I think there are a few things. I mean, one that's been top of mind for the tech industry for a long time has been immigration reform. We rely heavily on being able to recruit great talent from all around the world. We also need to obviously support and advocate for better education and better R&D dollars at the federal level as well, just so that we continue to grow our own talent base. But we can't, in our view, cut off the sort of basic meritocracy of having the very best talent attracted to the United States to both work at our companies, but also importantly to start new companies that might fill some of those employment gaps that you and I were talking about a few minutes ago.
What about federal oversight of the internet and the issue of net neutrality?
Yeah, you know, it's been a very hot issue in the tech community. There are some folks who are, you know, providers of the pipes, the telecommunications companies, that would like to be able to charge more for the fast lane, if you will, of the internet. And it's been a principle of most of the tech community, however, to say that we really need everything on the internet to be sort of in the same lane and to have the same rights to speed. And that goes to that sort of free flow of information, which is really a backbone of the sort of meritocratic system that we believe in. If you can't get information on an equal basis and information of all sorts, then you really can't have that free flow of ideas that leads to innovation.
Who's going to speak truth to Trump in this group? I guess if Elon Musk is there, you know, what are the kinds of things that, you know, someone who doesn't have an internal censor and doesn't particularly care that he's president-elect would say that would be provocative?
You know, I think probably some of the things about cybersecurity may come up. He's very intent on making a material change in the terrorism picture. And one of the avenues that Trump has talked about to do that is to be, you know, more fulsome in the monitoring of communications. And so you recall with the San Bernardino shooting that there was talk about boycotting Apple in order to get them to unlock that particular phone and to basically, in Apple's view, turn over the keys to all security for all Apple products as a result of doing that. And so I think that's going to be an issue that could come up because it's a very one-off sort of transactional issue, and it's the kind of issue that Trump tends to gravitate toward. In this particular meeting, I would be very surprised if anybody tries to take Trump on or if he tries to take the industry on. I should say with my optimistic hat on, I think this is probably a meet and greet and something that has been engineered by Peter Thiel to try to normalize relations between a lot of folks who have a ton of money and a ton of influence and who have been pretty anti-Trump to get them to at least, you know, see him as a human being that they can have a dialogue with.
Heather Redman is a tech startup investor in Seattle. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.